Today is found in the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter. We have here a parable about a wedding taking place amongst the Jewish people. In the preceding chapter, we have Christ discoursing to his disciples about the end of the world and how it would be when he would be there and when he would come. And then he told his disciples that they should watch and pray, for they knew not the hour when the Son of Man would come. And we find that he continues this discourse in this chapter. Then he says, the kingdom of heaven shall be like unto 10 virgins that went out to meet the bridegroom. We understand here that there was a similar proceeding taking place amongst the Jewish people when a wedding was in process. When this took place amongst the Jews, why, usually the bridegroom, he with his friends, went to the bride's house to fetch the bride and bring her to his house. And we find that the bride, she had 10 bridesmaids or virgins that accompanied her. By these virgins, we are to understand spiritually of the church in general, of the outward church. 10 virgins we read of. There were 5 that were wise and 5 were foolish. And we find that this bridegroom spoken of is the Lord Jesus Christ. When weddings take place, my hearers, usually there is joy and happiness, and that should be so. A wedding isn't a funeral. But we know, too, from experience, that many weddings which take place, even in this country, they end up in awful scenes. Most of the people that attend such worldly weddings, they become drunk, and they begin to fight many times, and sometimes even the police have to come in to bring the thing to order. The Lord teaches us by the mouth of the apostle, let everything be done in good order. I'm sure probably some of you people have been to weddings, and at these weddings you've seen something of which I've been speaking of. In all probabilities, you've been so disgusted and you felt so guilty that you were there, you got up and went home. You couldn't enjoy yourself at such a wedding. If it was so, good for you. But most people, of course, they remain to the end. There is nothing else but carousing, and also nothing else but joy and happiness in a worldly way. But at a good wedding, then there will be joy and happiness. A blessing if the Lord Jesus Christ is present at a wedding, and then it will be altogether different. And we find that he takes this simile to describe how it would be when he would come to judgment. And we find that he takes this to explain unto the people that the kingdom of heaven, the outward church, the visible church, would be like 10 virgins that went out to meet the bridegroom, namely the Lord Jesus Christ, who was to come to judgment. And there was then amongst these 10 virgins, 5 that were wise and 5 that were foolish. For the wise, they took oil in their vessels, but the foolish, they did not take any oil with them. Now we understand then by these virgins, 5 wise. For these wise, we may understand, had wisdom. The wisdom that they had was from God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all true wisdom. These wise, they had the grace of God in their hearts. They had been taught by God and had been called by God and had been given a new birth, and they had the grace in their very souls, a life of God. The foolish, they resemble the wise because they are called virgins. They likewise were members of the church. They were not just ordinary members of the church, but they were persons that had made likewise a profession of religion. They, in all probabilities, shined much brighter than even the wise in their profession. In their zeal and in their activities for the Lord, they likewise far outdistanced some of the wise. But they are called foolish. The reason they are called foolish is because they had not the grace of God in their hearts. They made a profession of religion themselves. They thought it was simple enough, and they came forward probably, and they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They accepted him as their Savior, and they made a profession of religion. And when it came to the point outwardly, they probably were more pleasant to deal with than the wise. These foolish virgins then, they likewise had lamps with them. And this was their profession. This was their religion. They walked in the sparks of their own fire, and they kindled it with their own good works. And we had then 10 virgins going out to meet the bridegroom. And now, when they went out, they took their lamps with them. In these eastern countries, they burned more or less torches. They weren't lamps such as we have, but they took these torches and put them on poles. And they also dipped them in oil and ignited them. These torches, they gave a brilliant light, especially when the caravans were traveling through the desert. You could follow one with these torches. And these virgins had such lamps. These lamps, they burned them with pitch, they burned them with wax, and sometimes they used naphtha to keep them going. According to the commentary, they sometimes wrapped a piece of linen together, and they had a little vessel of oil with them, and every time the lamp started to die down, well, they would pour a little oil on this napkin, and in that way it would flare up again. This is what they did in these eastern countries. The poor people, they let their lamps burn all night. They had lamps likewise in the temple. These lamps were likewise supplied with oil and kept burning. And now we find that as they were going out to meet the bridegroom, the bridegroom tired. They all trimmed their lamps, they went out, they all looked over their profession of religion, in other words, they examined themselves, and they went out to meet the bridegroom. But while they were going, why the bridegroom tarried? You know, it's customary, even in this country, if you have a wedding, I often think, then the bride is always late. And now here the bridegroom tarried. So this was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the Lord Jesus Christ many times tarries, my hearers, especially for his people. Sometimes they've been looking for him, they've been praying for him to come, and he stays away so long, it doesn't seem like he's ever going to come anymore. He always comes at the opportune moment. He always comes in the greatest extremity. He always comes when there's true need for his help, for his comfort, for his direction, and for his consolation. And the bridegroom tarried. And now while he tarried and they were waiting for him to come, we find that they all slumbered and slept. All 10 virgins, they slumbered and they slept. By slumbering, we must understand that they began to doze. And finally, they were asleep, all of them. And there, while they were sleeping in this condition, my hearers, they had no idea that the bridegroom was coming. Now, this is a state and condition into which not only the wise, but the foolish fell into. The wise who have been born again, who have had a new life planted in their hearts, who have the oil of grace burning within them, they likewise slumbered. They likewise slept. So this happens with many a soul. Or there was a time when the graces of God was very lively in their soul. Or the time of first love, when everything is burning within, and then they have such longing and such desires after the Lord, coming up to his house, that they find so much time to go in secret and pray and seek God. Oh, what a blessed time that is. But they come into a time too, as these virgins did, that they find that they also begin to slumber and begin to sleep. The graces, they become inactive. The love that they had towards the Lord seems to die away. The breath of prayer that was so lively in their soul seems to be gone. They come up to the house of God, they have nothing. They read the Bible, they don't see anything in it like they did before. And then they find that what comes up, why sin becomes lively. The things of the world, the things of time and sense become so strong in them. And they find their minds and their time and their lives so occupied with these things where before they were secondary. See the time in which even the wise slumber and sleep. My hearers, if you look at the church, the visible church at this present time, and you look at this part of the church that I'm speaking about, how they are slumbering, how they are sleeping, isn't it a sign that probably the bridegroom will soon come? He gives us this sign in this word. We find likewise that the foolish were asleep. These that made such a profession of religion, that believed so in the Lord Jesus Christ, that never had any doubts or fear about the work being God's or not, they likewise fell asleep. They became careless, they became indifferent, they fell back to so many things that they never did before in the world, and they more or less depended and rested upon the profession that they had made. The wise likewise were asleep in this respect. They probably were depending upon that wonderful change that they had experienced. Some people, they have a wonderful conversion. It's from dead to life. It's from darkness to light. And it takes some time. Only one sermon, and God converts such a person. And they never can forget that. They're always building upon that. They're always resting upon that. That wonderful change. You find many people likewise have a wonderful revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to their souls. And all they talk about this, they're resting upon this. And as they begin to fall asleep, they begin to doze. Some people, they are justified by the grace of God. They have peace with God. And these people, they likewise fall asleep. They begin to rest upon what they have experienced. You come to meet them, they can always talk about what took place. But they can't tell you about what took place last night or last week. They can't tell you how they met the Lord and enjoyed something of him. They're resting upon things that have experienced in the past. There are so many that are in this particular state, sleeping, dozing. And then while this was going on, the Lord Jesus came. While they were sleeping in this respect, there was a cry made, "The bridegroom cometh." Immediately, these virgins, as they awoke out of their slumber, they began to trim their lamps. So they began to look at their evidences. They began to look to see if they had any foundation. Even the foolish ones, when they awoke, that they found too that their lamp had gone out. They had forgotten to take oil with them. That they had ignored this particular thing that was so necessary if the bridegroom had tarried. But the wives, they had taken oil in their vessels, and their lamps remained burning. But the lamps of the foolish had gone out. They began to examine themselves. They began to realize that they had no grace. They had no foundation to appear before God. They became afraid. They became fearful. Otherwise, their lamps remained burning. Even in the midst of all the slumbering that they had been passing through, the graces of God never die in the soul. The life of God can never be blown out. It will remain even to the end. And now these foolish began to see that they had no oil. And they asked the wise, give us some of thy oil, for our lamps are gone out. It was necessary then that these foolish ones have oil. And they had no oil. And now these wise ones said unto them, not so, lest we don't have enough for ourselves and for you. Go ye to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. We find that these wise ones gave them good directions. Not only did they give them good directions, but they were very careful about the oil. That they did not want to give any unto the wise, unto the foolish, for the simple reason that they could not. For this oil is a personal matter. For this oil is the grace of God that God gives unto his people. And we cannot pass it to anyone else. We can direct creatures to go to them that sell, to the means of grace. And there we find the Lord proclaims, buy of me wine and milk, without money and without price. And this is what these wise did to the foolish. They directed them to go to them. And that is where they had obtained it. And therefore, as they said unto them, lest there be not enough for us and for you. You see in this, my hearers, that the wise even had a lot of fears that they wouldn't have enough. They feared that when the bridegroom came, then their lamps would be gone out and they wouldn't have any oil. How many are listening to me that have something going on within them and has not this fear that what they have is not enough? Are you never troubled and concerned about that? Do you not fear, should the bridegroom come and should he examine you, that you have not enough? How many poor souls are troubled about this, or whether it's God's work, or whether it's the oil of grace, whether it's not their own work, whether they didn't begin themselves, and whether they did not carry on their profession in their own power. Lest there be not enough. And now these foolish, they took the advice and they went to buy. And now while they were gone, the bridegroom came. And the Lord Jesus Christ came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. We find then that these wives, these creatures, these sinners that had so many anxieties about this, that were so troubled and so concerned about this. Oh, how would it go with them in that great day? Or was the work God's? Would it be proven that it was his work? Oh, they had many times experienced something of the Lord in their hearts. Many times they had been in darkness. Many times they had been brought down into doubt and fear. And then something had come from God and had encouraged them. It had lifted them up above all their despondency. It had revived their hope, revived their love. Faith had been brought into exercise. And oh yes, it was God's work. They could believe it for a few moments. And all this time now for these creatures that had experienced at times, some of them, such a longing, such a desire for Jesus. Oh, there have been times in their hearts that they said, come, Lord Jesus, come hastily and take me to be with thee. There have been times when they've been like the Apostle Paul. They had a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which would be far better. And now the bridegroom came. And now these creatures that had been so troubled and so exercised during their lives, they found that this oil had not gone out. That this oil was the oil of grief. That the life of God was still even in the midst of all the slumbering and all the sleeping that they had passed through, and that it was God's work. And now their lamps remained burning. Their graces were blown into exercise again by the Spirit. And all here they heard this voice, the bridegroom cometh. It entered into their soul. Oh, this was what they were looking for. This was what they were waiting for. And this would be the day where it would be decided upon for their immortal souls. And now the bridegroom came, of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who had loved his people, who had come into this world for them, who had bought them with the price of his blood, who came now to take his bride. To take his bride to be with him. Oh, they had experienced sometimes some glimpses of his face. Sometimes he had shined down upon them, but now he came to take them to be with him forever. And they would then see him face to face. They would be with him in that glorious place, that place called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And they that were ready went in unto the marriage. My hearers, could I put a question to you? Are you ready? Should the bridegroom come? And we know not how soon he may come. He has said, watch and pray, for ye know not the hour in which the Son of Man shall come. My hearers, this does not only refer to the day of judgment, but it refers to the hour of death. Or should death come, how will the Lord receive you? Will you be ready to go in with him and to enter into that abode to be with him forever? Oh, my hearers, these foolish virgins, as they had went to buy. And while they had went, the wise had went in, and the door was shut. Shut forever. Shut for all eternity. My hearers, I think about the time of Noah. You know, it's written then that the Lord shut him in. This man Noah, he had built an ark to the saving of his house at the commandment of God. He had built it according to the plans and the specifications that God had given unto him, and it took him almost 100 years to build this ark. And there were many people that had helped him build it, And there were many that called him an old fool, many that mocked with him. Many times he preached unto the people why he was building that ark, what was going to take place. They laughed at him. They made a joke of it. You do that too? When we speak to you that the Lord is coming, and that he may come, yea, even this very night, what do you think about it, my hearers? You turn it away from your mind, you think, that can't be true. But that's what these people did with Noah. They didn't believe what he preached. They didn't receive the testimony that he gave unto them. And finally the day comes when God gave Noah and his family and all the animals to enter into the ark. And then my hearers, it says, and the Lord shut him in. Noah couldn't open the door anymore. And then came the flood. Then came the water. And oh, can't you picture in your mind all them people? How they were clambering around that ark. How they were knocking on the door that Noah would open that door. But Noah couldn't open that door. And then the flood came and they all perished. They all perished miserably, my hearers. Oh, what an awful thing that was. When God destroyed the first world with flood, oh, he's coming again, my hearers. And this time it won't be a flood, but it will be a fire. All this world and everything that is therein shall be burned up. And my hearers, and we find that these foolish virgins who had been so strong in faith, who had made such a bold profession, who had talked so much and made so much commotion about their religion, as they came back and they came to the door. You know any people like that? You meet any people like that in your life? Oh, they're so strong in faith. They don't have any doubts. They don't have any fears. They're so assured and so certain that they're going to go in heaven. Oh, see some of them here, my hearers. See them foolish creatures. What were they building upon? Building upon their own works. Building upon their own doing. Building upon their own believing. They had no oil. They had no grief in their heart. And now they came to the door. Oh, it can go so far, my hearers. It should make every one of us tremble if we have made a profession of religion, that it can go so far. You know, we can conceal it from one another. Oh, our lives can be consistent. Nobody can put anything upon your life and still not have oil in your soul, not have the grace of God in you. Oh, these hypocrites, these foolish creatures, they came to the door. And they knocked on the door. Open unto us! Open unto us, they said. But the voice came from the inside, I know you not. Oh, my hearers, this teaches us that there are some that God knows, some that God has chosen, some who were on the inside of that door were safe for all eternity. But these creatures, they knocked on the door. Oh, I was meditating upon this part of this lesson, my hearers, and I was thinking, should it go that way with me? Would I be bold enough to knock on the door like these foolish creatures did? And I had to admit in secret, no. I was not worthy to enter in. I was not worthy that the Lord would open the door and let such a creature like me in. And I never would have the boldness to knock on the door like these foolish creatures did. They wanted the door open. Oh, they were so sure. They were so firm. And they thought really they had to go in. There was no question about it. But the door was shut. Have you ever thought of that, my hearers? that you might find the shut door that you'll never enter in.
Hmm.
All these blessed creatures that had been given enter in. Oh, how safe they were for time and eternity. And therefore the Lord speaks and says, watch, for ye know not the hour or the day when the Son of Man shall come. All we know not, my hearers. The cry was at midnight, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Behold, he cometh as a thief in the night. Oh, what a night that will be if it should be midnight and he should come. Oh, my hearers, have you ever stopped to think what that will be concerning the inhabitants of this world? There was an awful cry in the land of Egypt when God took the firstborn of every Egyptian family. Oh, what an awful cry there was. And oh, what a cry there will be, my hearers, in every day when the bridegroom comes to take his bride to himself. Oh, there will be so many that will cry and tremble for fear. And they will cry to the rocks to fall upon them. They will cry to the mountains to cover them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. Think of it, my hearers, you may be one of them. This is the word of God. This isn't just my saying. Oh, what an awful thing that will be. What a separation will take place in that great day. Wives torn from their husbands and children, wives entering into glory. Husbands taken away from their wives and children, and they are given to enter in, and the door is shut. Just think of it, families will be separated. They've lived with each other all their lives. Oh, what an awful thing this will be, my hearers. Oh, when you consider this, if only you were earnest, if only you were sincere, oh, it should not give you any rest until you were sure that you had this Savior as your Savior. Oh, my hearers, seek an interest in this Jesus. He has said, seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and ye shall be opened. You won't have to knock in that day if you've sought him here and if you've found him. He gives us every encouragement to seek him. All my hearers, may you be given to do so. He's well worth seeking, isn't he? Just think in that great day. If you have him as your friend, if you have sought him, and if you found him, to be your helper, to be your strength, to come to you in all your troubles and anxieties. But then when he comes, he will know you. He will recognize you. He will give you to enter in with him into the marriage supper of the Lamb. But all woe be unto you if ye have not sought him. If you have not paid any attention to his word. If you have paid a deaf ear to all what you have heard, oh, what an awful thing it will be for such a poor sinner. Oh, may God fasten this upon your hearts, and may you be given yet to seek him. I would encourage every person that is listening to me to seek this precious Jesus. You may say, well, Mr. Vanderwind, I've sought him so much, I've prayed so much, he don't seem to want to listen to me. I think maybe I'm a reprobate. I don't think I'm one of those elect, or sure he would have heard me already. So therefore, what's the use of me going on seeking him? My hearers, isn't he worth seeking? Should you seek him to the day that you're going to die and you find him, how lucky, how fortunate, how wonderful that will be for your soul. Oh, may you be given to earnestly seek him while it is yet called today, for we know not when he shall come upon the clouds to judge the quick and the dead. At the end of this chapter we have him coming at the clouds of judgment, and every eye shall see him, and every one of our eyes shall see him. And oh, what a day that will be, my hearers. May God prepare each and every one of us for that solemn day, so that we may not be as the foolish virgins, meaning to go in and not to be able. The Lord bless and sanctify the lesson to your immortal soul. That's all for today.